Podcast with Brex and Lab. Well, folks, if you thought that Alex Small, who was going to lead the 2026 PGA Championship, kudos to you. I don't think anyone in this field of 156 players saw this one coming, Rex. You talk to all the players who are coming off the golf course. They really can't believe what they're seeing. And that's no disrespect to Alex Smalley. We're talking about the leaderboard in general, the condensed nature, the scoring that's so much higher than we anticipated coming into the week. It was a strange Saturday. It's been a strange golf tournament in general.
I think Scottie Scheffler said it best. I've never seen anything like this in all of professional golf. Not major championship golf, but professional golf. When you look at how condensed the leaderboard is, and Alex separated himself to a certain degree late in the round with the birdie on 18. He pulled two shots ahead on the field. But then you look at what's behind him. We were almost going to have a historic situation. I think there were seven people tied for the lead at one point. To put that in context, the most ever at a major championship is five. So we would have shattered that record. The most ever at the PGA Championship is two. So you get an idea of we just never have had a situation like this. And you're going to throw the stat out there. I know you are, so I'll leave the floor to you. No, and it's ridiculous.
I mean, all of these stats, Rex, are courteous of our friends at the Elias Sports Bureau who are
wonderful work
who are right
week,
over here.
Way.
Guys are absolutely killing it. The goats as it comes to statistical analysis. I forgot what the exact quote was. Isn't it? Was 14 of the last 15 were within two shots of the lead. So if that's the case, folks, again, 14 of the last 15 PGA champions were within two shots of the lead heading into the final round. That would be... So you would have that leaderboard. It would be Alex Smalley, Ludvig Åberg, John Rahm, Matty Schmidt, Nick Taylor, Aaron Rye. That's it. The winner is going to come from that group. If you're paying attention, that's certainly a different group of players than we talked about on Friday. We're going to have to go back on Sunday to see which one actually matters in terms of the statistical analysis. Oh, that's a good one, too. 11 of the past 14 PGA champions have come out of the final group on Sunday. So that would be Alex Smalley and Matty Schmidt. You talked to Alex Smalley and Alex Smalley's caddy on Friday. He's an interesting story. Look, he's 29 years old. He's never won before on the PGA Tour. It's just the 10th time since 1995 that a player has held the outright 54-hole lead heading into a major championship, having never won before on the PGA Tour. He's been trending pretty nicely, not just over the past couple weeks, but over the season. Very consistent, popped up the Zurich Classic alongside partner Hayden Springer, had an opportunity to win that golf tournament, played well the following week at Doral, and come in with some good form at the Truist Championship as well.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't mention him in our Wednesday podcast, to be fair. I'm sure he probably didn't come up on Live From as well. But when you look at what he'd done over the last few months, I think he had top 25 finishes in his last five starts, including that runner-up in, at the Zurich Classic. Talking with his caddy, I think the confidence has only grown this year. He has to stay patient. He has to stay within himself. It's not as though he's one of these players, and we talked about Aldrich Potketer earlier in the week. He can do crazy things with the golf ball. Mm. He can launch it. He can spin it. He creates an incredible amount of speed. That's not necessarily what Alex does. If you look at what statistically, he doesn't do anything great, but he does everything pretty well.
I mean,
nothing stands out.
Yeah, he's got a very syrupy swing.
Yeah.
Very consistent, sort of metronomic in that respect. I'm curious to see how he's going to handle the spotlight. A very soft-spoken guy, a very quiet guy, admittedly says he does not like the attention, likes to fly under the radar. How do you think he's going to handle the spotlight with everybody looking at him with this two-shot lead?
I mean, at this point, he is kind of what this record says he is. And you look the way he started today, I think he bogeyed three of his first four holes. And that was a shaky start. The fact he was able to rebound and to finish strong and to grab that two-stroke lead, I think that speaks volumes as well. But yeah, you want to watch him early in the round. You want to see how he handles the difficulty. To be fair, also, right about the time he was teeing off was probably the worst conditions of the day. The wind started gusting to about 25, 30 miles an hour. It's as hard as it was going to get. And you had a bit of a spread. I mean, guys went out early and absolutely destroyed this golf course. Guys went out. Justin Rose almost shot at 29. You look at what
Chris Rayton had a good round. Nick Taylor had a good round. I mean, there was plenty of good scoring, at least in the morning. And look, this was the warmest day of the week so far. It's actually supposed to get even warmer tomorrow. Temperatures approaching at 90 degrees. The big difference, though, on Saturday, as you saw in the early starters, it was about a stroke easier because the wind was a little bit calmer. As the afternoon progressed, it got very gusty, 20 to 25 miles an hour. That was like the final hour of Roy McIlroy's round, and he shot 66. We're going to touch on him in a moment. So there was a pretty big disparity among those who finished early and those who finished late. I think everyone was anticipating when you saw those good stores, Justin Rose, Chris Rayton, maybe the lead was going to be at 6, 7, 8 under par just because it seemed a little bit more conducive for scoring. Instead, it's only Alex Smalley who pushes it deep. I thought this was an interesting note as well. Alex Smalley, the only player in the last seven pairings who shot under par in this third round.
And I think, well, it's twofold. You look at what he did on Friday, right as he was making the turn on Friday, his group got put on the clock. And he bogeyed three straight holes. He kind of got flustered. His caddy told me that he got ahead of himself, got a little busy. You can't speed up on this golf course. You can't speed up in a major championship, period. But on this particular golf course, where you need to be just laser focused on every single shot, he was able to recover. And he did the same thing today after getting off to a slow start. I think that could certainly come in handy tomorrow. What he did in New Orleans a few weeks ago going to come in handy tomorrow. But I think it's going to be impossible not to look over your shoulder. And if someone can get a move, someone can do something early, I think we're going to end up with a little bit more conducive scoring tomorrow afternoon. It didn't seem like the winds are going to be quite as difficult as they were midway through the day today.
Correct. I only saw gusts to about 15 miles an hour.
Which is still not easy.
Yeah, that's certainly decent strength, but nothing like we've seen really over the first 54 holes. I also wonder with the PGA of America, because the leaderboard is so bunched, do you put a couple more pins in the bowls just to open up the scoring, make it so one of those players in the last hour or two of this golf tournament can go out and shoot a 65 and post a number and see if that's going to hold up. I'm with you. I think you have to give Alex Smalley a lot of credit. He was in that 36-hole position along with Maverick McNealy. Bogus for those first four, plays his last 10 holes, Rex, and five under par, including birdie the most difficult hole in the golf course on number 15 on Saturday.
You talked about sort of his swing. It's a bit of a languid swing.
Syrupy.
His caddy told me the swing thought is, it's something I guess that Adam Scott says. I've never heard this before, but let your backswing mature. And I said that last night on Live From, and someone asked me this morning, that's a great line. What does it mean? And I have no idea what it means. But I like the idea. I guess I get it. Like,
yeah, I mean,
don't rush it.
Don't rush
be Jon Rahm.
Which is the exact thing that I do. It looks like my backswing's having an aneurysm at the top. That explains why I have the driver gips. Let's talk, Rex, about some of the chief contenders who we have. And I found this very interesting because when I talk about how weird this golf tournament has been, how odd it has been, how bizarre it's been, how unusual it's been, I think that's pretty apparent in the best major finishes among those who have an opportunity to win this. And I went through down the list, and it's Matty Schmidt, who, again, is going to be playing in that final group alongside Alex Smalley. Matty Schmidt's best major finish prior to this week was a tie for 59th. When you go down to Nick Taylor, obviously one in Canada, has a number of PGA Tour titles to his credit as well. Best finish, T23. How about Aaron Rye, who's dealing with some issues physically earlier this year, had a back issue, had a neck issue, seems to be playing better golf over the past couple weeks. His best finish in a major championship, tie for 19th. Alex Smalley's best finish, tie for 23rd. Matt McNealy's best finish, tie for 18th. These are all very unproven players, which is why this week has just been so strange.
And you have some proven players mixed in there. You have the Rory McIlroys mixed
for sure.
In. You have some players who will show up tomorrow thinking they have some sort of advantage. You don't know if they do or not, because you look at what Alex Smalley has done through three rounds. His lack of experience in major championships doesn't seem to impact him, but I think it does manifest itself on a Sunday. You can probably convince yourself on Thursday, Friday, maybe even Saturday that, nope, just another tournament. I think when you make the turn on Sunday afternoon, you see your name on top of the leaderboard. We've heard players talk about this in the past. That's when it really hits you hard, and that's when you really have to dig deep and try to ignore it and treat it like a normal golf tournament, but it's not easy.
I think the condensed nature of this leaderboard actually does make it a little bit easier. Whether you know someone's going to go out and shoot a number. Someone's going to go out and shoot a 64, 65, 66 to try and win this golf tournament. The fact that they're not necessarily siloed off, they're not on an island trying to protect something, I think is going to be advantageous for a lot of these players who have really never been in this position in a major before.
And you look at the leaderboard, you have Jon Rahm, you have Rory McIlroy, you have Ludvig Åberg, who apparently you have absolutely no confidence in tomorrow. But, I mean, you have accomplished players.
I don't think that's necessarily true. Let's break down some of these big-name contenders. This is, again,
really, I put words in your mouth.
This is no disrespect to a Matty Schmidt or an Aaron Rye or a Nick Ludvig. Taylor, players who have not been in that position before. Let's first talk about Jon Rahm. It looked like Jon Rahm was actually going to be a 54-hole leader, if not a co-leader, prior to a pretty shocking three-putt bogey on his 18th hole of the day. Ends up shooting 67, one of the best rounds, certainly in the afternoon. Do you think it's any coincidence, Rex, that Jon Rahm is now back to major championship form just a couple weeks after LIV Golf
announces that it may be ending.
No, and we've broken this down so many times. So since he joined LIV Golf in December of 2023, he has three top 10 finishes in the major championships. That's eight major starts that he's made. This would be the ninth since he joined LIV Golf, but he wasn't in contention at any of the three. He started the final round no closer than five shots back. So he never really seriously had a chance.
He was, however, tied for the lead last year at the PGA Championship, heading into the back nine and ended up crumbling over the final stretch.
But again, I'm talking about going into Sunday's final round. He was never closer than five shots. You don't really give yourself a realistic chance. Now, that's going to change tomorrow because I think there's plenty of guys on this particular leaderboard who are five shots back or sitting at dinner right now thinking to themselves, yeah, I like my chances. I can go out and do something early. I think the difference with John Rahm this time around, and he addressed the idea that he feels like he's playing golf as well now as he did in 2023. 2023 on the PGA Tour, when he won four times, when he won the Masters, when he was number one in the world, all of the things that he was able to accomplish. And you have seen those results, not necessarily at the Masters, didn't have his best stuff there, but he's won on LIV Golf. I don't think he's finished outside the top eight on LIV Golf this season.
I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, it means something. Yeah. It's where he's competing. It's the only thing we can bank it on. He's a second-ranked player when it comes to data golf.
Yeah.
And that's where you put your faith. So I'm going to put some faith in that as well. I think this is the version of John Rahm that everyone has been anticipating. And I do think it's interesting. And he was asked about it and deflected it, said he'll answer it tomorrow if things work out well. But is there an epiphany that comes along with the news that LIV Golf is essentially going to be on their own after this year, that the public investment fund is walking away after this year? It seems as if he's just kind of resigned himself, that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I just need to focus on what's between the ropes.
Yeah, look, he's certainly, his options are clarifying, where he's either going to be on LIV Golf because he's contractually obligated to be there. He did ink the deal with the DP World Tour to make sure that he has an out there and stay Ryder Cup eligible. I do think he has a little bit of, I don't know, clarity of mind, even with all of the uncertainty surrounding LIV Golf, particularly compared to Bryson DeChambeau, who we talked about yesterday, with everything swirling around Bryson. I don't think it's any surprise that he did not have his best week here at the PGA Championship. It's great to see John Rahm play well when he is in full flight, and I don't think he's necessarily in full flight right now, but that Saturday 67 was more than we're accustomed to seeing from John Rahm. He's a primetime player. He's a big-time player, and keep in mind, if John Rahm wins this PGA Championship on Sunday, he will head to Royal Burnsdale.
One step away from Grand
Slam. At the Open Championship with an opportunity to claim the final leg of the career Grand Slam. Let's touch on Ludwig, who I actually do have confidence in, but that stems, Rex, from the way that he is ball striking.
I must have misheard you. Right, I must have not heard you correctly.
I don't have full confidence in some aspects of Ludwig's game, but the way that he is striking it right now off the tee with his approach play, he is the best among the contenders. Do you think that he can keep it up in crunch time?
First in the field and strokes gained tee to green. You're absolutely right. This is what we've come to expect when Ludwig Åberg is playing his best golf. I will go to the idea, and I'm teasing you. We spend a lot of time talking about Ludwig right now because he is a world-class player. What he was able to accomplish in the Ryder Cup, what he was able to accomplish to win on the PGA Tour. He has exceeded everyone's expectations at every step of the way. But you look at the recent history. You look at what happened at the Players' Championship. You can't ignore the fact that coming down the stretch, something just wasn't quite right. That doesn't mean the same thing's going to happen at the PGA Championship. It's just when we microanalyze these things on Saturday night, you would absolutely put him in that group of players, and you put a star by his name. His name, Rory's name, John Rahm's name. Like, there's a couple that you want to keep an eye on tomorrow simply because they have too much talent to ignore. But, yeah. There's an asterisk on there as well because of the way he's finished up on Sundays.
Yeah, look, he was two shots ahead on 11 at the Players' Championship this season. Ended up faltering, finishing down the leaderboard. You look at what's happened at the Masters 2024, 2025. Had an opportunity, actually, in those two tournaments. Ended up making a double bogey at 11 member in 2024. 2025, he finished bogey triple to tumble down the leaderboard. We had an opportunity to win that golf tournament as well. So I still think there are some questions about Ludwig Åberg in crunch time and whether he can pull it off. I trust certain parts of his game. I still think he has to prove it in crunch time, and his record is clearly indicative of that. Joseph Boza, who was in the comments here, firing off comments left and right, he said, has this week been strange for Lav because the superstars aren't running away with this? No, this week has been strange for Lav, I'm talking now in the third person, because of what's happening statistically, where short and inaccurate hitters are not being punished because everyone is missing fairways this week. I mentioned it when I came out from the golf course.
And everyone is playing to the meat of the green. because of the way the pins are tucked. I think that factors into this.
I don't even know if it's necessarily the meat of the green. The slopes and the ridges are taking
the safest part of the green.
They're all collecting in the same spots, and then you have to two putt from there. But if everyone's missing fairways, then
it's a lag putting contest.
Typically, in major championships, the best ball strikers win. Either the players were hitting it longest and the straightest, or I think most greater indicator of success is iron play. And this week, we have not seen the best iron players rise to the top of the leaderboard. That is why this has been strange. This is why it has been so atypical of other major championships.
I mentioned
Rory McIlroy as well. Like John Rahm, had a little bit of a finish where he kicked away shots over the last 45 minutes. Did not birdie the easily reachable par 5 16th hole. Ends up making a bogey on 17 as well. Slightly misjudged his tee shot. Buries the lie. Makes bogey. What do you think of Rory's chances now sitting just three shots back?
He kept his post-round press conference PG-13, so there was no curse words this time around. I think that's probably a pretty good indication. I think when you look at what he has done since Thursday, when clearly he got on the bogey train and he was aggravated, and he did use the foul language, he has gotten better in every aspect of his game since then. Certainly driving, and that's the one area that probably aggravated him the most, even at the Masters we talked about. He did not drive the ball very well. He putted really well on his way to his second green jacket. Everything has sort of landed in place. And when you look at it, I think I had to ask you to make sure this is right. After the first round, he was 7 shots off the lead. After the second round, he was 5. And now I think he's 3.
So, 3 after that Smalley birdie, yep.
So that's the kind of progress a player like Rory McIlroy wants to see at a major championship, because he knows all he needs to do is get to number 10 tomorrow within 1 or 2 strokes of the lead, and you know he has to love his opportunities, love his chances.
Yeah, there was zero panic whatsoever, and he was very quick to recall what happened at the 2025 Masters. Remember when he was 7 shots behind, had a sloppy finish to that second 9 on the first day, 7 shots behind, ended up being 2 shots ahead heading into the final day, and won that Masters tournament. He was 7 shots behind here after the opening day, after his 4 consecutive bogeys to close his opening round, and now Rory McIlroy after 67-66. Very, very tidy stuff. I'm with you. I think you should have plenty of confidence.
Joseph, you're right. There was some pearl clutching when Rory dropped that S-bomb the other day. There was some serious pearl clutching in the media center.
Oh, God. Please.
No.
Not the potty language. Xander Schauffele right there. Patrick Reed right there. Maverick McNealy, who we touched on, is right there as well. This leaderboard, Rex, is confounding. It's bunched. We've gone over it. I honestly do not even know. This is typically where in the mini pod that we pick a winner. I have no idea where to go with this one.
I mean, the hard part is your winner is home. J.J. Spahn did not make the cut. My winner is tied for 23rd.
My winner was not J.J. Spahn. My winner to win this golf tournament was Scottie Scheffler, and ended up Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, missed 6 putts inside 10 feet. It certainly seems
you and
like
I both picked Scottie. So, he's 5 shots back, and I cannot bring myself to saying he's out of it. He needs a good putting day. He needs to do the things that he hasn't done so far this week.
22 players ahead of him. It's not even necessarily the number of strokes. It's a number of players. 22 is insurmountable.
I think I'm going to lean in the direction of a John Rahm, simply because he is looking. You did the comparison. He seems, in his own words, not mine, feels like he's playing better than he did in 2023. Whether if he's being honest with himself, that doesn't really matter. But if he truly believes it, that's all that matters, because he was a dominant player in 2023. This is the type of golf course when he is in full flight, he should be able to dismantle, essentially, because he hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens. And you have to like where his head's at right now.
Yeah, I think I would lean towards John Rahm. I think if Data Golf was pulled up right now, I bet you Ludvig Åberg and John Rahm would likely be neck and neck, probably in the 10 to 15% ratio trying to win the golf tournament. I think it's Ludvig's time. Even though this golf tournament has been bizarre, even though things have not gone according to plan, even though they've skewed very heavily to those who are making putts and not necessarily those who are striking the best, I'm going to have faith and the eventual outcome of major championships, and those are the best ball strikers. I think it's Ludvig's time on Sunday here at Aronimink. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. As a reminder, we'll have another edition of the Live From with Rex and Lab newsletter dropping in inboxes. I think we're having some issues, Rex, with the spam. I would highly encourage everyone, if you sign up for the newsletter, and again, you can do so at golfchannel.com/Rex and Lab, go to your spam folders. Say that it is not spam. It will come into your inbox. You won't have this issue anymore. We have plenty of good stuff on the Friday edition. You and I will be back on Sunday evening for a full 52-minute made-for-TV edition recapping the final round of the PGA Championship. Plenty more up on golfchannel.com as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday night. Enjoy the final round
PGA Championship.